skills you want to learn to become effective as a leader, I want to recommend them to you. And of course, we will definitely try to get our character book back up to you. Now, write this down, please. This is what we're going to focus on this morning. We're going to talk today in the first session as we focus on the principles of kingdom character. We're going to focus on this subject, why character matters. Those who are joining us online, thank you so much. We know that you are a wonderful part of our family. Those of you in the United States and other places, thank you for joining us. All right, we appreciate that. Okay, let's get started. Why is character so important? Why is it our priority? Here's a photograph I like. It's a picture of a father with a son. And notice the son is imitating his father. When you are a leader, people imitate you. This is why you must have a strong character. Character is the most effective tool on earth. Write it down. Character is the most effective tool on earth. Character is more important than words.
Wow.
When you have a strong character, a good character, you don't need to speak. So why is character so important? Here's why. Number one, because character establishes and strengthens your inner life, so that you are a person of integrity and honor. It strengthens your inner life. Secondly, it's important because character enables you to effectively fulfill your purpose and potential on earth. It protects your purpose. It safeguards your potential. Why is character important? Because it protects your leadership and your vision. Character prevents you from canceling your vision and your assignment on earth permanently.
My God.
It prevents you from prematurely aborting your life. People's lives are aborted because they lack character. Entire lives are canceled because of poor character. Character also allows you to leave a legacy for your children and your children's children. There are people in this room who literally don't want to remember their fathers. They are ashamed to talk about their father. And the question is why? Because his character is not worthy of memory. Your children have to live with your character. So give them a good memory. There are people who go to churches who don't want to talk about their pastors. Matter of fact, many have left churches and don't want people to know which church they attended. Because the character of the leader brought disgrace to the name of Jesus. Character protects your legacy. That's why it matters. Talk a little bit then about what I consider the three most important keys in leadership. Now, I want to tell you this is very serious. There are about 27 principles that I have isolated that are important to developing leadership. 27 of them. You'll find them in my books in the bookstores. But there are three of them I believe are the most important. Write them down. The first one is purpose. To become an effective parent, preacher, politician, manager, supervisor, business leader, or entrepreneur, you must first discover purpose. That means there must be a reason for your life. Purpose is the source of vision. The second most important principle of leadership is potential. That means after you discover your vision, you must believe that you have the ability to fulfill that vision. Potential is ability. In essence, you must believe that what you were born to do, you are built to do. That's called potential. God never creates anything without the ability to perform its function. Birds fly because they were created for the purpose of flying. Fish swim because they were created for the purpose of swimming. Seeds bring forth trees because they were designed to produce a tree. So the ability of all these things are in the thing. The same thing is true about you. Whatever you were born to do is trapped in you already. You got to believe that. That's why leaders really are very independent thinkers. They believe in their own raw material. Oh boy. A true leader believes that they are their own raw material. Their confidence comes from this conviction that they can do what they're dreaming. It's called potential. So you got purpose, which is your passion and your vision. You've got potential, which is your ability and your power. But the third one is key, and it's principles. Now, principles have to do with laws and values that you function by in pursuit of your vision. Principles are guidelines that are inherent in the product for it to function effectively. Everything created by God and even by men function by principles. For example, your car was made by a manufacturer. The problem is the manufacturer built some principles into the car that you cannot change. That's why I use the word inherent. Principles are inherent in the product. That means you didn't put them there. The manufacturer put them there. One of the principles of your car is unleaded gasoline. That's a principle. That's a principle. If you want the car to function for you, you must obey that principle. Now, if you were to buy first grade Florida orange juice and fill your car with the best grade orange juice in the world, what would happen? The car would malfunction. Why? You violated the principle. Secondly, you would destroy the engine. So violation of principle doesn't just create malfunction. It produces destruction. The most important thing in life is principles. Not power, not vision, not purpose, not ability. It's principles. Why? Because principles produce values. Now, what do you mean by values? Values are simply what is valuable. Unleaded gasoline is valuable to you because your car needs it in order to serve you. Am I right? That's why you go to the gas station. You don't drink gasoline. You don't even like gasoline. You hate the way it smells. but you keep going for it. Why? It's valuable. Values are things you discovered that are valuable because they are necessary for function. So my question is, what are your values? What do you value? Character is manifestation of values. If you value your marriage, you will never commit adultery. If you value your children, you will never abuse them. If you value money, you will never waste it. If you value honesty, you will never steal. See, your values create your ethics. So when someone breaks the law, it's because they don't value the law. Crime, therefore, is simply a result of a society who doesn't respect its values anymore.
Wow.
So why is there such a high murder rate in your country? Because people have devalued human life. There were times in the past we used to talk things out. But now, since you have no value to me, we kill things out. Are you with me? So, the most important thing in your life is principles, not power. Purpose is your vision. Potential is your power. But principles are your responsibility. Principles make you responsible on your way to your passion. Principles, therefore, are the foundation of character. Desmond Tutu was invited to be the chairman of the Reconciliation Commission in South Africa after Mr. Mandela was released from prison. His job really was to see what they value, to restore broken lives. Here's some things I want you to remember. Principles produce character. I want you to write these down, please. Principles produce character. Character is more important than charisma. We like charismatic leaders, but I want to warn you. A charismatic leader is dangerous without character. And we are so gullible, we love charisma to the point where we ignore defective character. I know he ain't living right, but boy, he's a good preacher. Man, I just love the way she ministers, man. She's powerful, man. I know she's a lesbian, but she's all right. That's called charisma over character. Ministers of L.A., charismatic guys. I didn't say preachers now, so I'm not talking about that one. I didn't say preachers of L.A., I said ministers of L.A., okay? Charismatic people. Charisma. Dynamic personality. What about character? That's what's wrong with the church. You're impressed with these people. I don't respect gifts and talents. I respect character. Write this down. Values are more important than vision. Now, you know, if you're going to be a leader, remember that a guiding vision is important. And also you need to have a deep passion for what you're doing. But above all of them, principles must regulate your leadership behavior. No matter how great you are, You're only as safe as your character. When we find the truth about you, everything collapses. Character is like the skeleton of your body. It holds your whole life up. When it collapses, your whole body collapses. So what we need to do is what I call integrate vision and values together. Okay, let's talk about it for a minute. Without values, vision has no destiny. In other words, without vision, without values, is destiny without discipline. I know you got a great vision for your life. I know you got an awesome goal you want to accomplish. I can see your dream. Look at the powerful dream you got. Yeah, but it's only as safe as the discipline of your values. Number two, vision protects, is protected by values. I hope you walk away from this seminar with fear. The reason why we got so much destruction in leadership is because people have no fear anymore. Fear of breaking their own values. Leads to point number three. Vision is interpreted through values. I could spend a day on this one. Okay, what this simply means is I can tell whether your vision will succeed or fail by what you value. So it interprets vision. For example, you got this massive vision you want to fulfill in your life, this dream that you carry all in your life, but every time I see you, you're smoking. Now, that tells me something. You are telling me you got this massive vision, but you are working on your own death. You don't value your own life. I won't talk about the vision. This is point number four. Organizations have vision, but they must also have values. Your company will be successful if it has values that protect its vision. So values are not just important for individuals. They are important for your organization. You know, people who want to work for us in our organization, our companies, they got to sign a certain document that says certain things that we value. Example, in our church company, we got five companies. But in the church ones, you want to work for us? You got to sign a document that says you don't commit adultery, you're not a homosexual, you will not have a fornication. You will not tell lies. You will protect the confidentiality of this company. We have a whole list of things. Now, you don't have to sign it. You don't have to work here. These things we value. Because as a church, we can't be preaching against adultery and the elder or the secretary is committing adultery. It can't work. So we tell you, sign this. Our company values these. How about your church? Amen. Members on your deacon boards are shacking up and you know it. And you won't fire a deacon because he gives good salaries and good tithes. Oh boy. What do you value as a company? What do you value as a country? I mean, the people you vote for tells me your values. The people you vote for tells me about you. Because you put your vote behind values. By the way, you could vote just by your presence. Listen, you discover that your pastor is immoral. And he doesn't seek help. Why are you going to that church, is my question. You are voting by your presence. Oh, it's quiet now. People ask me, you know, what do you think about this? I said, listen, leave the church. Just leave. Right. You can't give your offerings to corruption. Right. I'm giving it to God. That ain't God no more. Listen to me, man. You know, y'all got to read the Bible again. See, when Saul messed up, God says, Jonathan, you are fired. You can read God. I don't want to, no crying. You are fired. By the way, I already got your replacement already, he says. You know, God fired many people who are still coming to work. Saul kept coming to work for years. God said, you fired a long time ago. I got a king in that house over there in Jesse's house a long time ago. You fired. You wearing a crown that don't mean anything to me. There are some pastors who are fired, still going to work. You can be disqualified because of character corruption. Boy, this is tight. All right, I want you to write this down. Character is accountability to yourself first, and then to others and to God. Character is accountability to yourself. That means you keep judging yourself. You keep yourself under control. You're accountable to yourself. You're telling God, I will make sure I keep these laws. Do you know what a prison is? A prison is a big house with children who couldn't keep laws in their own houses. So they put you in another house. And the parents are the guards. And they tell you what to wear, when to get up, when to eat, when to stop eating, when to work, when to sleep, lights out, go to bed.
That's right.
Like children. Mm-hmm. Prison is simply a big nursery for kids who didn't learn to impose laws on themselves.
Wow. That's good.
Write this down, please. Accountability to self is simply obligation to report to those who are responsible, who you are responsible to, and who you are responsible for. Okay, this is important. You must remember that as a leader or a parent, you are responsible to people, but also for people. This idea that people say, well, what I do in my personal life is no one's concern. Listen to me, that's a total lie. Everything you do in your personal life is everybody's concern.
Yes, sir. All right, sir. Amen.
When you collapse, we all feel it. Ask your children. Some of you in this room are divorced. You never quite talk to your kids, you know that? You should talk to them sometime. And ask them, how did you feel? You don't want to hear them. You thought it was just between you and your spouse. It wasn't. That 6-year-old is still suffering at age 60. Personal decisions are never private. So accountability is a commitment to personal integrity. I'm gonna protect myself for the sake of others. I'm going to protect myself for the sake of others. It's character. Character is having an awareness that your life belongs to everyone else. Now, sometimes you hear me say things like, I belong to the world. That's true. So do you. You have no private life. You're part of a community. Remember Achan? Achan and his family? Achan decided to privately steal something. And it caused the whole country to lose the war. And God says there's something wrong in the camp. Only one person disobeyed God. The whole country lost the war.
My God.
Hallelujah. His character is personal, but it's not private. So, character and integrity are the protection of your leadership. Whether it's a parent, a politician, a preacher, or a professional, your character protects your leadership. Not your gift or your talent, your character. Not your money, your character. Not your fame, your character protects your leadership. So, here's some things I want you to read with me out loud about life without character. Number one, read. Leadership without character is power without principles. Number two, leadership without character is gifts of the Spirit without the fruit of the Spirit. Number three, leadership without character is abuse of trust. Think about it. People trust you. And you violated their trust. Number four, I'll read. A leader's gift is only as safe as the character that contains it. Your character is the container for your gift. Number five, read. Violation of character forfeits the privilege to use, serve your gift. Okay, let me explain that. When you violate your character, notice the words I use. You lose the privilege of leadership.
Yes, sir.
This is very serious, man. I've seen people in this country who destroy their character on Monday. And they are still on TV preaching on Tuesday.
That's right.
I am confused.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
That's
right.
And you are still saying amen on Wednesday.
Wow.
What are you doing? When you violate character, you forfeit the privilege of being the pastor for a while. You need some help.
Amen.
Or the supervisor.
Amen.
Even the parent. Mm-hmm. Your kids trusted you.
That's right.
You're disqualified. You know, I'm going to say something very deep. Here it is. You're my father. I'm your son. And I'm following you. And you violate my mother, committed adultery with another woman.
Yeah.
You're no longer my parent. You are just my father. Yeah, too deep. In other words, the Bible never says to honor your parent.
Yes, sir. That's good.
That's right.
It's heavy.
Yes,
honor who? Your father. You're still my father, but I ain't following you no more.
Wow.
You can't parent me no more. You're a bad example.
My God.
Character protects your parenthood. Violation of character forfeits the privilege of being trusted. I just don't get it. I still don't get it. I don't understand it. I've seen ministers in this country, pastors of big churches, who mess up. And they never stepped down for a break. They never went for help. They never had someone to rebuke them. And people still go to those churches. It tells me about your own values. Someone need to tell that pastor, you've just forfeited the right to be the pastor. You are a wreck. You need to go for repair. So I'm sitting you down for 2 years.
That's right.
You're going in the mechanic shop.
Right.
We're going to sort out your carburetor. You got issues.
Mm-hmm.
I got to protect these people from you.
Amen. My God.
I see y'all ain't clapping. Everybody clap. You got me nervous. Your character protects your right to lead. You earn the right to be trusted. You cannot demand trust. Don't you ever again say these words publicly. Trust me. Impossible. Hallelujah. Okay. I want to show you this. The goal of true leadership is integrity. True? All right. And the most important component of leadership is character. Character is manifested in integrity. Character is integrity manifested. What is integrity? Being one. You're the same all the time. You're only one person all the time. That's character. Character means you never change. Don't miss tonight. Explain that. Character means that you are always the same. Whether it's dark or light, in the night or the day, you are the same. Whether you're behind closed doors or in public, you're the same. Whether you are in secret or exposed, you are the same. That's character. You have the same stability as character. That's what's lacking in the world. There's a mayor in Toronto. Can I say it slow? There is a mayor, the mayor of Toronto, Canada. The guy is a character case. I mean, the guy is so cool. He says, look, I was sitting there thinking, I'm going to write a book on this guy. The guy says, look, yes, I smoke crack. Yes, I slept with prostitutes. Yes, I'm an alcoholic. But I built roads for y'all. I reduced the budget. I reduced expenses. I mean, the guy never skipped a beat. It's like, hey, there's no problem here, he says. he has no integrity. The mayor is not always the mayor. He's a drug addict in his other life. He's a pimp in the next life. The guy has five faces. You ain't sure which one you're looking at any day of the week. How can you trust a man who you don't know? Character. He's not the same all the time. When they first accused him of taking crack, he denied it. He swore he never did it. Then they showed the video. He said, well, since you got that, I wonder if we know the truth about you. See, the mayor of Toronto is a character. He has no character. Okay, I can explain that to you, all right? Listen carefully. The Greeks, remember I told you that the Greeks are the ones who invented plays and drama. Okay, the way the Greeks used to do plays is they didn't have a lot of actors. They had one person who could act on the stage. One person. And here's what the person did. The person had it behind the curtain. They had about seven different masks. They all looked different. So he would go behind the curtain, come up with a mask in front of the stage, and he would say a few things and act. And he'd ask the question. Then he'd go back behind the curtain, pick up a different mask, come out and answer the first character. This character would then say something else and ask a question. He'd go behind the curtain, pick up a different mask, and come back, and he would answer the first question of the second question of the first actor. So, therefore, he'd keep changing the faces. Seven different faces, one person.
Yeah. Yeah.
That person was called a hypocrite. Greek word, hypocrite. We pronounce it hypocrite.
Right.
Hypocrite simply means many faces. So I wonder which one of you came to this meeting today. The religious face. Character has one face. What you see is what you got. It's character. All right. Now, I want to show you this lady, Mother Teresa. What a woman. Spent all of her life helping the poor, dealing with leprosy and helping people in the streets of India. I want you to write this statement down. I thought it was an interesting statement. A leader leads by example, whether he intends to or not.
Right.
Send it on the internet right now. Make sure you give me credit. Leaders lead by example, whether they intend to or not. So stop telling people what I do in my private life is none of your business. Your private life is simply the demonstration of what you said publicly. I repeat, your private life is simply a demonstration of what you said publicly. I repeat, send it on your internet. Your private life is simply the demonstration of your public declaration. In other words, in public, you speak your values. In private, you live them.
That's right. Mm. That's good.
So there's no separation between the two.
Right. Yes.
A young man said to me in Kenya, he said, I've been following you, Dr. Munro, for 11 years. And he said, the reason why I decided to make you my mentor from a distance, I bought all your books. I went without food just to buy your CDs. He said, you know why? He said, because every time I see you with your wife. He said, many people come to my country, big pastors, big ministers, evangelists, and I never see them with their wives. You are always with your wife, talking about your wife all the time. He said, that is so powerful to me, I decided to make you my mentor. I didn't know you were watching me and my wife. He was saying, your private life demonstrates your public message. Character. You're the same outside as you are inside. You know, all my mentees have come to my house. Many of them have come to my house. They come to my house. Why? My house is the same as the podium. I preach out of my bedroom, not out of my study. My son said to me the other day, he said, Dad, I just want to tell you, I love working for you. I said, why? He said, because I live with you. I watch you. You do everything you teach.
Yeah, that's right.
So he's my managing director now. Do your children want to be what you are? Is the question. Are they so confused that they don't want to be like you? Have they seen such two-facedness that they don't want to be like you? This is why preachers' kids always turn out corrupt, most of them, because they see hypocrisy, many faces. I'm wondering with teenagers, boy, they're smart. They can pick up a fake a mile away. And they may never tell you. They tell their friends. When a teenager respects you, you are a winner. Believe me. Make a note of this, please. The credibility of leadership is character. What did I say? You are only credible to the measure of your character. It doesn't matter what you say.
Right.
People always hear you through your character. People hear you through your character. Do you know what amazed me about the mayor of Toronto? The guy is something else. You all got to study this guy. Go on the internet and study this guy. This is a good example for you to listen to and listen to this guy carefully. You know what he said the other day? He was before the council being, you know, asked questions. And the council member said to him, didn't you pass a law as a mayor that there'd be a no tolerance limit to drug use in the city? He said, yes. You don't understand how deep that is. That's deep. The mayor, one of his policies that he implemented was zero tolerance for drug abuse. He's a drug addict. The guy is the epitome of hypocrisy. It's like a preacher preaching against adultery. And the woman who he's sleeping with is in the choir. You need to sit down, brother. Go drive a taxi. Oh, is tight. Character. Say it loud. All right, write this down. Out loud. Say it. The force of leadership is character. Number three. The trust of leadership is character. Number four. The legitimacy of leadership is character. Number five. The integrity of leadership. Look how powerful character is. It is your credibility, it's your force, it's your trust, it's your legitimacy, and it's your integrity. Without them, you don't exist. That's why this is such an important seminar. This is your life. Why do you think the devil wants you to compromise? He knows if I destroy your character, I destroy your life. You're no longer useful to God. Thou wilt follow the laws of the Lord. Do not turn from it to the left nor to the right. Meditate on them day and night. Do not abandon the laws of the Lord. Keep them as a lamp before your eyes and a light before your feet. Then you will have good success, and I will make your way prosperous. Your enemies shall be scattered seven different ways. Your children shall not be barren. Your womb shall be fruitful. And you'll have a barn that overflows. He says, it's all based on your character. Keeping the values. Hallelujah. I met someone here last night. They said, do you remember me? I said, no. So I knew you 22 years ago, they said. And you're still the same. Boy, that's a powerful statement. 22 years ago, you're still the same. Same wife. Same message. Same life. An old lady came to me. Old lady. She's about 90 years old. In the Bahamas, where I live. I went to speak at a conference, and she was a part of this old church I went to speak at. She's in a wheelchair. She brought tears to my eyes that night. When I finished speaking, they pushed her up to the front. She was on the line to see me and greet me. And when she got to me, she said, do you know me? I said, no, ma'am. She said, I know your family. I watched you since you was a child, a baby. I've been following you all the way. I sit down on TV, I watch you, I keep telling my grandchildren, that young man, I knew him when he was a little child. He's always in love with Jesus. She said, you know, in the Bahamas, on this island, there's only 120,000 people. And she said, you know, what impressed me the most about you? She said, I'm 91 years old. I know everything about every preacher in this country. She said, you're the only one I know nothing about except good. She said, for you to have a good name in an island 7 miles wide and 20 miles long with 120,000 people, you are a man of God. She said, not a rumor about your life. You know why some preachers change states? Do you know why they relocate? Character destroyed in their community. When you come to the Bahamas, and many of you have been there, when you come to the immigration, just ask them, do you know Miles Monroe? Tell me anything about him negative. Let's ask him. In a small country. Because all I have is my character. A person of character doesn't have to be loved, but they must be respected.
That's right. Amen.
And the world respects character. They may not love you, but they respect character. Young man, keep yourself pure in school. Let them call you all kind of names. When I was a kid, you know, in school, they say, boy, Miles, boy, you ain't got no girlfriend? No. Man, you 14 and never had sex? No. Man, I got a girlfriend. I said, oh, that's good. They said, man, you are a square, man. You're square. I said, you're right. That's why you can't roll me around. All those friends of mine, some are in prison today, watching me on TV. When I go to visit prison, they say, Doc, how you doing? I say, I'm fine. How long have you been up here? 42 years. Wow, man. Man, I wish I was you, Miles. I wish I had made the decisions you made. Character. Protect yourself. All right. Here's a couple of thoughts before we go. This is very important. This man is an amazing man. His name is Mahatma Gandhi. He set the people of India free without a bullet. His character was so strong, he defeated the British army and the country of Great Britain with his values. He decided to sit in prison and starve to death until they set the people free of India. And the government of India didn't want to be responsible for his death. So they released the people of India and walked away. And they became free as a country from oppression. This man had character. Write this down for this very important statement I'm going to read out loud. Read it together. Leadership is a combination of strategy and character. If you must be without one of them, be without strategy. Listen, whatever you have, if character is one of them, give up everything else. Keep the character. Because the character will attract everything else back to itself. You have a choice between making $100,000 just to deliver a little cocaine for a friend. Or say no and keep your character. You got a decision to make. You could pay off your mortgage with this money. Or you can keep your character. You got a choice. Keep your character.
That's right.
There's a preacher in my country some years ago who made a statement, and I think he died now recently. But the country never forgot his statement when they were asking him about some moral issues. His answer was, principles don't put food on the table. He's dead now. He never recovered from that statement. I wonder if you were there too, where you would sacrifice your principles so you could get something to eat.
My God.
I got four children. I got no job. And my old boyfriend wants me to sleep with him and he'll pay my rent. You got a choice. Character. And so you ask the question. Does character put food on the table for my kids? Are my values for sale? All right, I want to show you something before we go.
Wow.
Here's a guy who you know well. His name is Bill Clinton. I want to give you the difference between talent and character. Write it down. Talent is your inherent abilities and gifts that you were born with. It's your skills. It can also be the knowledge you gain about those skills, the expertise. That's your talent. Your character is completely opposite. Your character is your personal submission to discipline. Your character is submission to principles and laws to protect those talents. Samson had the gift of strength, but his character didn't protect it. So he lost his reputation. Joseph had no strength, but he had character. And his character protected his life and promoted him to prime minister. It's your choice. What about this issue of how characters develop? Write this down. Characters develop by tests and trials. It is more important to be faithful than to be famous. Hollywood and the music industry is filled with famous people. But they are like meteorites. They burn brightly for a few minutes. That's why they call them stars. Oh boy. Falling stars. Lady Gaga, Lord have mercy. The people that you follow, the music that you buy, they're like meteorites. There's some preachers that way. They appear powerful. Gone. Falling stars. Sometimes I meet some of them, close quarters. You know, we do work together sometimes. I look at them and I can predict their future. I say, man, you have no foundation, man. Don't try to be like me. I am not a gift. I am a result. I'm not famous. I'm a project. Some people just appear from out of nowhere. And they're on TV. And you get excited about their messages. First question you should ask, where you came from? What is your legacy? Who's your pastor? How many churches you've been through? Who mentored you? It's the problem, see? We follow people who we don't know. The Apostle Paul says, know them that labor among you. Know them, he says. You all know my history. I've been around a long time, eh? I ain't finished yet, but I'm working, boy, I tell you. And my greatest legacy is my wife and my kids. I've been pastoring the church that we started with 7 people. It is the largest church in the Bahamas now for 34 years. No rumors in that church about me. There shouldn't even be a rumor. Yeah. Huh. let no man speak evil of your good. Character is what you do under pressure. Write this down. Leaders fail when they sacrifice their character on the altar of compromise. This is it. Compromise. The greatest enemy of character is compromise. Compromise under pressure. Stand strong. Don't just be loyal. Be dedicated. Dedicate yourself to what is right. I have a friend at home. He says his father told him years ago, do right the first time, all the time. I wrote that down. Never forgot it. Do right when? The first time. How many times? All the time. Character. Even if it hurts, you do right. You lose friends, you do right. Lose money, you do right. Lose a position, do right. Even be fired, do right. Lose your church, do right. The righteous never have to go into the future looking in the rearview mirror. You ain't got to watch your back when you live right. To him be glory. All right, before we wrap this up, I'm going to show you a couple more thoughts, and then I want to ask you some questions. I want to talk a little bit about values before we go. Okay, write this down, please. How do you create your character? Character begins with philosophy. Now, this is a big word, so I'll define it for you. The word philosophy is two words put together. The first word is philo. The second word is osophy. They're two different words. Philosophy, philo, osophy. Philo means to think. No, sorry, philo means to love. Osophy means to think. Okay, write it down. Philo means what? To love. Osophy means to think. So philosophy means to be in love with your thoughts.
Wow, that's good.
And you love your thoughts so much that you believe them. That's your philosophy. So your philosophy is your belief system. It's where it begins. Your belief system creates your values. In other words, the thoughts that you fell in love with are the thoughts you value. That's why you love them. Your belief system produces your values, and then your values take over, and they produce your morals. You act morally based on what's valuable to you. Then your morals take over your life, and they produce your ethics. Ethics is your behavior. Your philosophy is manifested in your behavior. We call it ethical behavior. Your ethics manifests your moral convictions. And your ethics produce your character. Character is manifested. And your character produces your life. So now you understand these words. As a man thinketh in his heart, that's who he is. Let me tell you something about character. This is very important to remember. Character cannot be faked. Okay, listen to me carefully. A thief is a thief before he steals.
That's right.
An adulterer is an adulterer before he commits adultery. A liar is a liar before he lies. You are what you are before we know it. All you're waiting for is opportunity.
Come on.
So your character is like a sleeping snake. Waiting to be awakened by pressure. Words of Jesus. Oh, the guy is so smart. He said, look. He says, you say that when a person is caught in the hotel room with someone she's not married to, that's adultery. He said, no, that's not true. He said, if you look on a woman, oh Lord, watch him now, and have sex with her in your mind, you are an adulterer. You know, I hope I don't offend anybody, but there are people who walk around and they wear different garments and they say, you know, I want to keep myself pure. Let me tell you something. I can undress you in my mind. Right. So it doesn't matter what you wear. Right. Come on, look at me so holy. You can undress me right now. Your mind can take up all of my clothes. It's here we got to deal with. Yes. Not here.
That's right. Mm. Amen. Yes.
A liar is always a liar. He's waiting for an opportunity to lie. That's all. So if your thoughts are corrupt, your belief system is corrupt, you are corrupt. Put on your nice suit and your beautiful dress. But your belief system is contaminated. That's who you are. So character begins here. In the mind. That's why as a child, listen to me carefully, when you're growing up, the Bible says foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. What is God saying? God is saying a little child doesn't have the mechanism to determine what is right or wrong. So you gotta use the rod of correction to instill in this child the difference between right and wrong. Listen to me, friends. If you don't discipline your child, they grow up like a wild bush.
Yes.
The difference between a garden and a bush. They're all trees, but one is disciplined. Is your child a bush or a plant? When I was a kid, I'm from a family of 11 children, man. 11 of us in the house, you know. I'm from a big family. I'm number 6. 11. Woo! One mother, one father. 11 kids. We had an army in the house, a whole nation. And I remember growing up, man, my mother and father, they were tough, boy, I tell you. Lovingly tough. You know, when I was born in 1954, you know, we were under the British. We were a colony. So we used the British money. We didn't have our own monies. We had the shilling and the threepence and all this old money. Some of y'all remember the old monies, right? And that is what they call it, sixpence. Little kind of coin, six pennies, a little coin. So it's a small little piece of money. One day, I went and I saw on my mother's bureau a sixpence, little money. I looked left and right and picked it up. As a little kid, I was 5 years old. And I ran to the store down the street, bought candies. And I brought them back in my pocket. I was so happy, the happiest man in the world, boy in the world, candies. And I was sucking on the candy. Mother says, "What are you eating?" I say, "Candy." "Where'd you get that from?" I said, I got it from a friend. See, once you break a law, you got to break another one to cover the first one you break. My mother says, "Come here." She said, "What's this in your pocket?" And there were 8 candies in my pocket. She said, "You have a very good friend. Your friend gave you 8 candies. Why are you lying to me?" "I'm not lying." And she slapped my mouth. Bam! She said, "Now, I'm going to ask you again. Why are you lying to me?" I began to cry. She said, "Give me the candies." Took the candies. She said, "How did you get this? I want the truth." She said, "Now, before you answer me, I want to give you a lesson. I'll never forget it." She says, "Whenever you tell a lie, you must keep lying to cover it. So I'm going to spank you because I don't want you to ever lie again. First lies lead to all lies." That's all she said. She said, "Now, where did you get the candies from?" I said, I moved the 6 pence from your bureau, and I went and bought them." She said, "Was that your money?" I said, "No, ma'am." "So did you steal it?" She used the word. I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Okay, so I'm going to beat you 3 times. The first one is for stealing. I got to teach you not to move things that are not yours. The second beating is for lying. You lied to me. And the third beating is for trying to cover up the lie with a lie." I got whooping 3 times. She took my pants down. She took her hand and left her fingerprint on my hip. I couldn't sit down. I screamed and cried. She said, "Now, this is hurting me more than it hurts you." Of course, you know, Barry. She said, "Because I love you. And I don't want you to be a thief and a liar. And if you don't get corrected now, you will be in prison." I am 59 years old. And I still remember every word. I never touched anybody's property again, including another man's wife. Oh, you missed that. See, if you steal one thing, you'll steal anything, including other people's spouses. Begins here. She was conditioning my mind with a belief system. And that belief system is still with me today. So lying is foreign to me. I remember the pain of lying. Stealing is foreign to me. I remember the pain of stealing. The rod of correction drove it out. That's why I'm so afraid of your country when you can't even correct your own children in your own home. You're raising a generation of thieves and liars and schemers and drug addicts. And you're calling it advancement. Listen, don't get me wrong. I don't believe in any abuse. But I do believe in correction. You cannot counsel a lie out of a child's mind. I mean, I've seen some people in your food stores with kids that are acting rude, and they're saying, stop it. Stop it. In my country, bam! Yes, sir.
That's right. Amen.
You don't negotiate with a 4-year-old. If you don't correct them now, read my lips,
yep,
they will enter a correctional institution.
That's right.
Same thing.
That's right.
Character is built under pressure in the mind. Discipline. Okay, let me close with this last statement. All right. Write this down. Ethics produce character, and character controls what? Your lifestyle. So that means then that reputation has become more important than personal responsibility. In other words, people are more concerned with their position than about their disposition. They're more concerned about greatness than they are about character. Take responsibility. From this day forward, I want you to leave this place with a decision that for the rest of your life, you're going to live a life of character. You're going to discipline yourself and keep yourself in order, even if it kills you. And you will not violate your values and your convictions. You will now allow your conscience to be smothered. You know, in this book, this new book I just wrote, you're going to enjoy it. There's a whole chapter just on conscience. Because somehow, we don't have one anymore. Your conscience is really the voice of God screaming at you every single time.
Yes, yes.
And the problem is, if you keep ignoring it, it gets quieter and quieter.
Yes, yes.
Until it simply doesn't say anything.
Yes.
Your life is finished. A person of character makes their conscience more important than compromise. A person of character lives their conscience. Your conscience is a built-in security system to protect the future of your life. When the alarm goes off, answer it. Shore up your life. Check the windows of your life. Check the doors of your life. Make sure nothing is sneaking in, because the alarm is going off.
Yeah.
Protect your life for my sake. You're my friend. Don't disgrace me.
Amen.
Don't make me ashamed of you. Don't make me walk away from you. I live for you. I live to protect you. Live to protect me. A good shepherd gives his life. For the sheep. A good parent gives their lives for the kids. A good boss gives his life for the staff. A good pastor gives his life for the members. A good friend gives her life for her friends. Sacrifice. We pick up here tonight. Protect me, please. Keep your character.